And joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon, I'm very happy to say, is Donald Doc Voorhees. Doc Voorhees has a long history with the arts and theater in New Iberia, has also been an educator in New Iberia as well, but is the assistant director for the play The Rainmaker. It is being directed by Diane Moss for the Iberia Performing Arts League, and he's kindly agreed to come and talk to us about the organization and the play today. Although, you know, with the weather we've had these days, Doc, we really don't need a rainmaker around here.
Well, I tell you, it's very interesting. For a long time, there was not much rain. We had our big, quote, dress rehearsal with a small audience so the cast could gauge when people will laugh, when people they'll be quiet. Right before the play, there was a tremendous thunderstorm, and it rained throughout the entire play, and we have a big flat roof on it, so you could hear it falling. I said, that rainmaker actually really does work.
He did a great job.
He should move out to California.
And who is that? Who's the rainmaker in the play? Who plays it?
Rainmaker is an actor called Clay Chauvin, right, who, in fact, just moved back to Acadiana from California. He got his bachelor's degree at Northwestern, and then he went on to his MFA in University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Then, of course, he went to California. He's been in movies. He's done commercials, been on TV and all that. But you know about that Cajun cooking in the Bayou Water. Once you tasted it, he moved back home.
Mm-hmm.
And he was actually taught. He's from Abbeville, where Diane is from.
Mm-hmm.
He was
mm-hmm.
actually taught by her in elementary school.
All these connections.
So some kind of way they connected.
That's right.
Okay, and he got the part. And it turns out there's a musical version of Rainmaker called 110 in the Shade. When he was at Northwestern, he had played Starbuck in 110 in the Shade.
Who could be better qualified for this part?
Right. So there were all these connections, and he is magnificent in the role, which is a prime role. The show has been in many places. It actually opened on Broadway in 1954, starring Geraldine Page and Darren McGavin.
And it was, as you mentioned, it became a musical. It became a movie. So it was
really
a
TV
popular
show. In the TV show, the role was played by Tommy Lee Jones. This was in the 80s. I guess Hallmark Hall of Fame or one of those shows that used to exist.
Well, it had a real revival, I think,
went back
on Broadway. And,
But
let's talk about the play a bit. It came out in the early 50s, 20 years after the events it's really talking about.
Right.
So we were safely out of the Depression and the Dust Bowl, and people could, I guess, find humor at that point, maybe 20 years later.
Right. It was set in the Dust Bowl. Mm-hmm. The space is nonspecific. Oklahoma, Nebraska, Iowa, somewhere there. And the family is actually not a poor family in the sense of the Grapes of Wrath.
Mm-hmm.
They own a farm. Now, their cattle are dying. They have to let the people who work for them on leave. They didn't fire them. They are just on leave. And it's a family consisting of a father, older brother, younger brother, and the sister, Lizzie. Okay, and it really is a family show. It's about that family and relationships in that family, and those same relationships exist in families now. Well, Lizzie is a term we would not use now. She's growing older and is going to be an old maid. And so they're trying to marry her off.
And this seems to concern them even more than the Dust Bowl.
Oh, right, right. In fact, it does. In fact, it does.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, they make various attempts. And she's actually a very independent woman in modern terms. Okay? One of the brother actually bullies her. You know, the father and the other brother come to her defense, as they should in bullying as we know today.
Mm-hmm.
But she's a very independent person. She's going to do what she wants, the way she wants it to be done. Well, all of a sudden, this very handsome, very charismatic stranger comes in who is probably a con man. And she recognizes that. And she even calls him that. And, of course, the family is discussing whether to hire him to make rain.
Okay, so that's his con.
Right, that's his con. He's going to make rain. He's very flamboyant, obviously. Mm-hmm. And there's a sheriff and a and a deputy, and the deputy's kind of interested in her, but he's too shy or whatever his psychological problems are, that he has never said anything. And that sets in the motion of the plot. It's she's told she's been playing. The show is about dreaming, that you don't have to be who you are. You can be who you dream. You just have to work at it.
Well, it's interesting, the characters you describe, in some ways they do sound like archetypal caricatures, mm-hmm. but the fact that it has remained so popular and has continued to be revived suggests that there's something that thwarts those caricatures. As you say, she's not just the old maid spinster from the 50s. There's something strong about her.
Right. Even though it is set in the 50s, much of it talks about events of today, problems of today. In various readings on it, they said this problem came right after the Depression and the Dust Bowl. That was before, but right after World War II, mm-hmm. right after Korean War, right after China had said it was going to become communist. It opened the day Dien Bien Phu fell in Vietnam, okay? And so things were dark, just like the drought, just like Lizzie. But the message of the play is you just have to go on. You can dream, and your dream can come true.
Yeah. And, of course, again, as we said, this is 20 years later, and obviously the Depression and the drought had ended. So
right.
there's a message of hope in that, that even in these dark times, time does go on and change.
Right. And okay, the show is really a romantic mm-hmm, because mm-hmm. of her and because of Starbuck and because of File, the deputy. But it's also a comedy because in any family, if you were to, you know, to sit back and watch the goings on in any family, there's a lot of comedy.
Well, especially when there's romance and marriage involved.
Right, in those relationships, yeah. most certainly so. Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to tell people who might just be tuning in, we're talking about the play The Rainmaker. It will open on the 28th in New Iberia. My guest is Doc Voorhees, and he is the assistant director. Diane Moss is directing the play, being put on by the Iberia Performing Arts League. Very active organization. I'm so impressed. I get so many young people in here who either in high school or college have become incredibly active, having gotten their start in theater, straight plays, musicals, at IPAL.
Thank you very much.
Have gone on to write plays, act in plays, major in performing arts here at UL, start their own companies. So it's really a very inspiring and active organization
right,
down there.
We have each summer a theater camp for 6 to 9 years old, but it's actually taught by high school kids, you know, so they can get the experience of being able to lead others and not just to be, you know, a person who's directed, but be able to direct.
Well, you can tell they're always very professional and
they really know how to express themselves about theater
on all levels and so many different kinds
of
theater.
Thank you very much. That's a compliment.
So we've mentioned that The Rainmaker was made into a film, made into a musical, but this is the straight play. This is not the musical.
Right. This is the original play as done on Broadway in 54, where the emphasis is on the relationships of the human beings mm-hmm, in the play.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The conversations they have.
Right.
So you mentioned the person who plays Starbucks, the main character.
Right.
Who are some of the other actors?
The other lead actress playing Lizzie, mm-hmm. okay, is Jennifer Young, who has been in various plays. She is the strong woman, and she really is. And she transforms from a plain person who her brother accuses her of to first believing she is beautiful and then knowing it because she sees it in the eyes of Starbuck. Mm. And she is the main transformation in the show. The father is Michael Parrish, who people who see our musicals know him. He had the lead in South Pacific. He's been in the 50s musical, the 60s musical. He had the lead in Spamalot. And this is his first dramatic role. And it's quite interesting. He's the father of the family. And he doesn't have to act. He has a family made of sons, so he, you know,
he draws on that.
His relation mm-hmm. to the sons and the daughter are the same as at his home. The two sons, Andrew Mills, who I believe is from Lafayette, he's a student at UL in architecture, is the older son Noah, the one who's the very stern, very bossy, he does not dream. The younger son is Andrew Palmatier, who's a student at Lafayette High, but looks like he's 22. Okay, and he plays the younger son, who's the dreamer. He really, you know, he buys in to the Starbuck thing. Then there's the sheriff, who's actually played by an IPAL veteran, Mike Duron, and the deputy, again, by a veteran named Perry Lede. And that's the cast.
That's a really interesting cast. You draw from veterans who have been in IPAL for a long time. You draw from high school. You draw from UL. So people are really attracted to do the plays in New Iberia.
I'll tell you about this one. What Diane is most renowned for is her direction of plays. Her sets are incredible. This is a family, correct? Well, what does a family do every day numerous times? They eat. They will be eating real food that is prepared every night. It's not fake food that they're acting like they're eating. They are actually eating it to the point of a raw egg.
So people shouldn't go hungry, and they're gonna, because they're going to be smelling all of this great food.
Right. And her set is just stunningly, you know, a beautiful, realistic, you know, real people could live in that house.
So is the set primarily the interior of the houses, or their exterior?
Okay, it's in three parts. The major part is, of course, the interior of the home, the living room, the dining room, stairway to the bedrooms upstairs. There's also a separate set, which is offstage, which is the sheriff's office, where the deputy is. The deputy is kind of very he's very separated from people. So he actually lives in the sheriff's office. Okay. Then on the other side is the tack room, which is where Starbuck is spending the night. And all three of those look like they're supposed to be. And our lighting person is Michael Caffrey. When the lights are on one, you cannot even see the others. And he's really a lawyer. He was saying last night, if someone paid me to do this full time, I would shut down my law office in a
minute.
He's
having that much fun.
He's having that much fun. And he does it. And then he says, oh, I think it'd be better with more blue gels. And we start all over again. He really enjoys it. And that's the glory of you know, community theater.
Well, I was just going to ask you about that, because obviously you're so committed to community theater, and the people you're describing, even though they have other jobs, they're professionals in other areas, they are really committed to working with all ages of people and presenting it to their community.
Well,
and what do you, in talking with people in your community and people who come to the plays, what are their responses? What do they enjoy most about knowing this is being created in their town?
What they enjoy most is they keep saying the talent in the area is incredible. And we, I think it's because of the facility we have, are able to get the talent to want to drive sometimes from Lafayette, from Abbeville, to be in our place. We own our own theater.
And it's an old building, isn't it?
It's the old Essity Movie Theater, 1935. And we own the building. It is paid off. Okay? And so, therefore, we can put money into – we just did a gigantic restoration of when you walk in it, it looks like a 1935 movie theater. There are murals. It's a pleasure for the audience to come. And the cast knows that the audience is there ready to enjoy a show.
So it's a full sensory experience.
It's a full sensory experience
when you go to that theater.
Right. We really try that.
And what do you enjoy most about directing, being involved with these plays?
I have to think about that one. I'm actually a math teacher, and they say the creative side is on that side of the brain. I'm assistant, a director here. My job is to be the arguer for the audience, that the sight lines have to be this way. They would realize that there's a love connection here if just this very small thing was done. you know, so she's very open to suggestions. And she says, that's how we improve the play. So that kind of thing. And also taking care of all the gory details. I was vacuuming this weekend.
Well, I was also going to say, when you're talking about just making sure the sight lines are okay, it's like the geometry has to be perfect, right?
Right, right. You see, she was is from Abbeville, where there's a thrust stage. And there, it's not sight lines. Mm-hmm. It's a different problem that a director has to handle. Mm-hmm. For a proscenium stage as ours, okay, it's sight lines. People are sitting here, so therefore a person cannot stand at that spot in the stage because he's blocking or she's blocking the action in the back.
Something not everyone would think about, but it makes a huge difference when you're a member of the audience.
It makes a huge difference from the audience point of view.
Exactly. Now, have you acted as well? Have you been in plays?
Oh, yeah. Many. I always take small roles because I'm rather, shall we say, past the prime age of memorizing. So I take small roles, but I have a great time on every one of them. And, you know, okay, it's amazing how people who hesitate to go on stage, once they're on stage, they could be totally relaxed. You know, it's like being in my own living room.
Well, what have some of your favorite roles been at IPA?
My favorite roles have actually been as director.
Okay.
Okay, of the 50 show that we wrote, Remember When,
yes. Mm-hmm.
And the sequel to it, Remember When Again. Okay, that was my favorite roles. We then did another one last year, a USO Christmas show.
That's right.
We had done.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to play Chief Gronkowski, named after a football player at New England, just to aggravate my friends. But to be there, because in that show, I told people, you ought to buy 4 tickets because it's going to be different every single night. And my job on stage was, when something happened, to make sure it flowed seamlessly into whatever was supposed to happen next.
Sounds like you don't make too much distinction between directing, acting, that it's
just
a wonderful experience.
It's just a wonderful experience. I was just in Jekyll and Hyde, where I got killed at the end of the first act. Okay.
How dramatic.
And so I got to see the second half of the show. You know? So
you could always have a good perspective on no matter what task you're doing.
Right. Well, you know, whatever you do in life should be a joy. Mm-hmm. And you have to pick things that can be a joy to you. It takes getting out of yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, we are always trying to get people just to volunteer, to do some little job, and then very frequently it becomes their new avocation.
Right, and they stay committed to that.
Right.
Now, how long ago did you start working with IPAL?
2006.
2006.
I really got involved, Fiddler on the Roof. And my first line that I ever said in a play was, it was a mule.
It's like putting your first dollar on the wall.
Right,
you remember
right,
that
right.
line.
Which was the very, very first thing.
Now, do you find you use I find teachers have some of the same skills it takes to be a good actor. Did you draw on that?
I'll tell you a story
if we have time.
As a youth, I was a stutterer, a very bad stutterer. For some reason, in a classroom, I never stuttered. That's what God created me for, and he went through a lot of work to get me in the classroom. So for Fiddler on the Roof, they need a lot of old men. So Catherine Caffrey, the director, spoke to me. I said, oh, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. I stutter, blah, blah, blah. Well, I finally said, okay, I'll do this. Okay, so I did it, and I had the one line. That was it, and I sang and danced. Okay, I did the bottle dance, kind of. Okay, but since then, I don't stutter. It was like a miracle cure. I mean, I can go on stage. I can do these interviews. And I thank that to theater and many people who go to theater and get involved. It's not stuttering that's going to be their issue. Mm-hmm, but it would be some other thing, just being open to people, dreaming. Mm-hmm, this show is about dreams, being in theater, even community theater, or especially a community theater, is about dreaming because no one's making any money. Okay, and that is what's so important about it.
All about the love for it. But also sounds like you're saying that it makes you almost rise above yourself and your fears, and it's
all about
the teamwork and the audience. Just as in a classroom, it's about your students.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, the line that finally got me in, to Fiddler on the Roof, she says, you know, if you've been teaching in a classroom 30 years, you have to be a good actor.
Absolutely.
Which is very, very, very true.
It is true. If you are just tuning in, my guest is Doc Voorhees. He is the assistant director with director Diane Moss for the play The Rainmaker, which will open in New Iberia at the SNE Theater May 28th. This Thursday and runs through June 7th. It's being performed by IPAL, the Iberia Performing Arts League. And what are some of your favorite moments in this play?
I would have to say the first one is just the feeding at the start of the play at the table, knowing it's real food.
Okay.
And, of course, this is, shall we say, not fine dining at Commander's Palace. The style. That's one. The second is Starbuck has three major, I would call them, orations. And they are just so beautifully put together to show who he is and what he's trying to do. He was in the musical of it. And those three orations are in the same musical, word for word, not as songs. But as he does it, you can see that is coming out of him, the flamboyance of a musical. That is extremely good. There are many tender scenes between Mike Parrish, the father, and his daughter. Okay, and again, he didn't have to go to a method acting class for that. That is who he is. And finally, I won't say what happens, but there is a scene in the tack room between Starbuck and Lizzie, where he says, it's about your name is not Lizzie. That's a regular name. Your name is Melisande, and that's who you are. And she says, I'm not Melisande, okay? But he gradually, that transformation of her, which is the key to the play.
He encourages her to dream.
He encourages her to dream and to accept that dream. And so those moments.
I'm sure some people are a little curious about his name. Why is he called Starbuck? Or is that giving away something in the play?
No. In one of his big speeches, his name is really, in the real world, Jim Smith. But I'm bigger than that, and I am so big that I have to have a big name.
That's pretty
big. So my name is Starbuck. It's one of the major scenes that sets his character. And, you know, he is a con man. He admits it. Okay, but the question is he really telling the truth about this dreaming thing? That's one of the issues of the play. Here it's funny. The plot of this play is Henry Hill. Is Henry Hill and the librarian Marion in Music Man.
Music Man. I was just going to say that.
Was it Henry Hill?
I don't remember his name exactly.
The guy with the band.
Right.
Okay. And it's the same relation. And it's out of the same period of time, the mid-50s, okay, where that was an issue people were dealing with.
Well, and that you find that in a lot of American literature as well. A lot of authors write about it. The con person. But it's not always in a bad sense. It is about dreams, as you say.
Right. Mm-hmm. Very much so.
We are talking about The Rainmaker. It opens in New Iberia this Thursday, May 28th. It will run through two weekends, I believe.
That's correct.
And for more information, you can call IPAL. Their number is 364-6114. Is there a website for IPAL?
There's a website, IPALtheater.com. We have email, IPAL@cox.net. Okay. You can get tickets at the door.
So lots of ways to find out more about
tickets.
It.
And they're only $10.
Okay. And do you have any other plans this summer to do any more plays?
Vince Barra is going to be directing Hairspray as the summer youth musical. Okay, and I will be assistant director for the next play they're doing, A Raisin in the Sun. It's going to be our September play, and I will be assistant director for that. Then I'll be involved playing Chief Grinkowski again. We're having an encore of the Christmas show. It was so popular that on the last night we had to turn people away.
Sounds like you're going to have to reprise it every year.
Yeah. They would like to. Because, I mean, just like you take out your recording of White Christmas or your favorite song every year, they could see that show every year. It was that effective and emotional.
Well, we'll look forward perhaps having you come back to talk about that performance as well. Again, my guest, Doc Voorhees. He is the assistant director for The Rainmaker. Diane Moss is directing the play, and it opens this Thursday at the SNE Theater in New Iberia. Thank you so much, Doc.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure. Thank you.